Grace, greetings, grace and peace to you. Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 16th of July. We are going to conclude this little five-day set we've been on about condemnation and how condemnation and emotion, condemnation and feeling bad are not necessarily the same thing, how the New Testament bears that out. We've tried to do it a couple of ways. One, we tried to lay out the case for what condemnation is from a spiritual standpoint and what that led into what condemnation is not, and that's from the emotional angle. So the basic thesis is that if you feel bad about something, you feel sorrow for something, it does not mean that you're under condemnation because you can't be under condemnation. Condemnation is a state, a spiritual state. And you can't go back under that. So how do we deal with our emotions? And how do we deal with our sorrow? And is it okay? And so we've walked through scriptures, namely Paul's usage of shame, the Greek word entropy, from 1 Corinthians 6 in the Christians in court, and then from 1 Corinthians 15, awaking to righteousness. We talked about godly sorrow that leads to repentance from 2 Corinthians 7. Today we want to try to put a little bow on this by talking about chastisement or discipline as directed by the Holy Spirit. That just as feeling bad does not mean you're in condemnation, being chastened does not mean that you've done something wrong. And so we need to graduate from the idea that's a really rather elementary idea that chastisement and discipline only comes on the backside of error. That's not true at all. Discipline comes prior to the confrontation or the competition so that you perform better. And just as a coach disciplines his team prior to the game, or maybe after the game, so that they perform better next week. It wouldn't make much sense to discipline the team after the last game of the season, and they're out there working on stuff with nothing, with no game to prepare for. The discipline is preparatory. As I like to say, it's preparatory, not punitive. To do that, we go to Hebrews 12, and I want to take that phrase that we used yesterday from sorrow, where Paul in 2 Corinthians 7 talks about a godly sorrow. He contrasts that to a worldly sorrow, where the worldly sorrow is going to produce death, and the godly sorrow is going to produce repentance, which produces life. And then you look at it through the Hebrew author's lens from Hebrews 12. I'll just start reading in verse 7. If you endure chastening, and that phrase, if you, is not a conditional phrase in the Greek. It's really rather, it is for discipline that you endure chastening. So it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when. Get that, keep that in mind. It's not a matter of if you'll endure discipline by the Holy Spirit. It's a matter of when. Therefore, it has nothing to do with sin. It has everything to do with preparing you to face this world. So it's a discipline that's in preparation. So when you endure chastening, God deals with you as with a son. For what son is there in whom a father doesn't chasten? Why is it important to know that chastening is being done as a father to a son? Because if you have a good father who loves his son, then he chastens him differently than a master chastens a servant, or differently than you would chasten someone you don't care about. That's the baseline there, is how much you are cared for. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, look at that. If you're without, yet everyone has it. So we're all going through it, but if you aren't going through it, then you're illegitimate and not a son. So it's an interesting statement. It's basically like, look, you're going to go through it. Everybody goes through it. If you didn't go through it, you would be a bastard. It's not that the author of Hebrews is accusing any believers of being a bastard, of not having a heavenly father, but he's just saying that you don't want the alternative. The alternative is that you don't ever have any discipline or chastening in your spirit. Then you don't identify as a son. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? I'm not going to try to work every word, every sentence. I'm really on my way to verse 11. For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Look at that. He does what's best to profit us. Our earthly fathers might have disciplined us to profit them so that they looked good. I don't want my kids acting this way because I don't want to look bad in front of my friends. So you kids better straighten up because you're making me look bad. That's for your profit. That's for their profit, rather. God disciplines for our profit so that we grow thereby and partake of his holiness. We can partake of how separate he is, who he is. Look at 11, though. This is where I'm heading. Now, no chastening or no discipline seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. The reason I read this at the end of this whole segment of the last few days dealing with condemnation and feeling bad is because that word used there in the Greek for painful is the Greek word lupa, and it is the root word that means sorrow or grief. It's the same root word that Paul used on the verse we used yesterday, 2 Corinthians 7:8, where I made you sorry, I gave you grief. So think of grief or sorrow, put it back into verse 11. Now, no discipline seems to be joyful for the present, but it makes you sorrowful. Nevertheless, now look at that, just time out. The author of Hebrews is saying things can happen where as you get chastened or disciplined and you feel bad, you feel sorry, you feel grief. Nevertheless, and what he doesn't say here is this, you feel sorrow. You ought to rebuke that sorrow. That's condemnation. You should never. No, it's not condemnation. You're not in a state of guilt. You have some things that need fixed. So the chastening is not joyful. It's sorrowful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. Allow those moments to train you. When you begin that process of feeling like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that, then let that godly sorrow change your mind about your actions. Don't let those actions cause you to think you're not a son, that you're not forgiven, that you don't deserve heaven, all the silliness that we inject and interject into religion sometimes and say, you've done this, therefore God's mad at you. No, get over that. Get past that. Let's grow beyond that and say, look, I know I'm forgiven. I know I'm righteous. There's nothing I can do that can put me under condemnation. I'm out of that law. I'm in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But if I mistreat someone, if I act beneath myself, I'm going to feel bad about it. And I should, because it's not me. And maybe that kind of shame, you know what? I heard somebody, they're not even a believer, to my knowledge, said something the other day, and it caught me. It caught my ear, and it actually resonated in my spirit. They were talking about the way someone dressed, and they were being a little cranky about it, I'll be honest. You know, they didn't like it. And they said something like, man, is there no shame? Like, you should feel ashamed of yourself once in a while. And I thought, yeah, you probably should, particularly if you were dressed like that and acting like that. And I thought, it's taken me a long time, a big circle in grace, to come back around to going, yeah, it's okay to tell someone they should be ashamed of themselves. Because for so long, I got so wrapped up in that idea that you couldn't do that because that was condemnation, that I didn't even know how to treat that moment where of public shame. If we lose public shame, then there's things that's going to happen in public that we're not going to want to be around. And we've seen that happen, haven't we? We've seen people who've lost public shame. I refuse to be embarrassed about anything. Okay, well, that's going to make the world a little worse. But they're not the same thing, that condemnation and feeling bad. I encourage you, want to hear all of this in one big sermon, go find why condemnation and feeling bad are not the same thing. Tomorrow is Friday. I am going to return to Long Form Friday with a very special edition. I'll give you a little hint. It's a guest preacher. I'm going to air for you a sermon by that guest preacher, and we are in the same family, literally. Tomorrow on Long Form Friday, I feature my dad. Don't miss it. God bless.